Welcome to a complimentary podcast from Association Management Consulting and Evaluation Services. This is one in a series of podcasts presented by AMCIS Consultants for those involved or interested in association leadership and management. The topic of this podcast is, are your not-for-profit family relationships improving? The topic is being presented by AMCIS consultant Jim Pilo.
Are your not-for-profit family relations improving? Not-for-profit family relationships include partners from different geographical, strategic, or operational perspectives. There can be national, regional, provincial, city, and special interest partners. Family partners are sometimes described as national. Affiliates, provincial branches, chapters, councils, institutes, or a variety of other names. Partners in the association family may be linked by a profession, trade, charitable cause, or special interest. Actions of one partner have the potential to affect others in the family. The family arrangement is unlike typical business partnership arrangements. In business partnership arrangements, it is possible by giving due notice to terminate the arrangement at the end of or even prior to a fixed term. The family partnership arrangement is still implied or perceived to exist even if there is no agreement in place between partners in the family. It is therefore imperative that the arrangement not only be clear, but also include opportunities for ongoing improvement. Are improvements necessary? Based on surveys, projects, and discussions, it appears there always seems to be a them and us or we and they in association family arrangements. Concerns tend to get blown out of proportion. When we and they happens, a greater number of personality clashes tend to occur, and the level of trust declines. I've listened to stories about the bad guys and have been amazed at some of these stories, and they've been handed down for generations. Stories about the national director, who's really a dictator, or the rebel provincial group abound and can become association myths within the family group. In these situations, partners question the value of active participation. How true are some of these stories? An assessment of a number of these situations reveals that some of the stories are true, but often the incident or situation is blown way out of proportion. When the level of conflict increases, the war of words and stories escalate. The original differences around the conflict are minuscule in terms of the big picture, and if addressed immediately, could result in a better use of time and resources. When assessing these situations, it does not take long to pinpoint the causes. The cause is often a result of uncertainty around strategic intent and values, perhaps roles and responsibilities, or poor communications, use of resources, timing, performance and accountability, lack of limited orientation or no orientation, lack of agreements and operating principles, and methods to deal with the differences. During periods of disruption in the partnership, it is not unusual for resources to be used ineffectively due to duplications, unclear strategic focus, poor communications, and challenges to roles and responsibilities. Arrangements and relationships are not something that should be looked at every 3 years or when a big problem occurs. Ongoing attention and regular maintenance by all involved is required. Existing or new core agreements between partners should have a provision to support ongoing maintenance. Other activities of the partnership may also require agreements. Agreements may be required to cover the development and delivery of services based on the shared services concept. Other agreements may relate to specific initiatives such as branding improvements within the family, related roles, responsibilities, use of resources, and desired outcomes. Why is national doing this when it is a provincial responsibility? I've heard that question on a number of occasions. And one key reason for some of the confusion in a family is due to the fact that the national partner is often called upon to play different roles. Activities of a national partner vary, but it is not uncommon for a national partner to engage in three levels of activity. The first level relates to the specific national mandate, which may involve national advocacy, standards, research, international relationships, and national products and services. The second level requires coordination support for the family groups. In the third level, the national partner acts as a business service provider, delivering back office or provincial services through a shared services agreement to take advantage of economies of scale. Some partner families are beginning to realize it is necessary to distinguish between governance and services when dealing with challenges. It is possible that governance partnership arrangements are not disrupted and alternative service delivery arrangements can be made. Economic and quality benefits are resulting in increased outsourcing, and national and other partners are stepping beyond traditional roles to become business suppliers to the family. It is not unusual to have volunteer leaders at the national and other partnership levels who believe members would benefit if operations were more centralized rather than decentralized. At the same time, others are trying to go the other way. It is therefore important that volunteers at the national level who understand that national leadership is different and requires responsibility only to the national partner and bring strong competencies that support facilitation, coordination, communications, and developing common visions. Some of the key things that should be in place to keep an arrangement on track are a level of common understanding and acceptance of a shared vision and mission. It is possible to have more than one strategic plan, yours, theirs, and the family's. There needs to be an alignment of priorities and resources. Agreements to support core principles and shared service arrangements need to be in place. There should be no clear winners at the expense of others, and all weak links should be supported. There are many others that are necessary in order to keep the arrangement on track. There is no shortage of stories about relationship challenges. Friction is real and members are losing out. Some have noted that the cost of duplication in their association family may be as high as 20% of resources. They believe member surveys indicate where these resources could be better applied. What is the cost of duplication? Groups sitting down to determine this should use outside assistance, as distrust, control, and other issues can make it difficult to achieve a win-win situation. Even with outside support, some situations may have deteriorated to the point where some partners will not share information. They believe it is their right not to cooperate and to continue to do so because they've already been doing it that way for many years. They have no intention of looking at possible improvements to reduce duplications. Duplications in the area of technology have cost some family members over $100,000 in one-time costs alone. And so the whole family group suffers. In this digital age, all partners need to adapt to new ways. Adapting to serve members, regardless of governance arrangements or the box that exists, should not override making the best use of members' money. There will always be a need to engage in more effective initiatives to build nationwide consensus and cohesiveness. If this does not occur, groups will be locked in the past and will not be as responsive and proactive as markets and members wish. While governance arrangements tend to be locked in stone, an opportunity exists with services that can be engaged through a shared services. While governance arrangements tend to be locked in stone, an opportunity exists with services that can be related to a shared service situation, and the groups can move beyond the limits of turf and jurisdiction to a higher level of integrated effort. Now is the time to engage others to understand and get the family arrangements in order. Perhaps your organization and others in the family group are ready to make improvements to the relationships and what and how things are done. Discuss the situation with key leaders in the association family and then determine if there is interest and champions for change and improvements in the family relationships. Can the quality of relationships be improved in your association family?
You have been listening to AMCIS consultant Jim Pilo. If you would like to talk to Jim about this podcast, you can call him at 613-595-1156 extension 4, or email at jim@amces.com, jim@amces.com. For more information about AMCIS and access to informative articles, tools, and other podcasts, please visit us at www.amcis.com.